Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicating your life totally and solely
to God, just as the apostles did. You're giving up your families, giving up your life, and you're dedicating it to God and to his work and to the church. So the nuns and the priests, that is what they do, and everyone else is considered a lay person. So they decided to allow lay people to be a part of the Mass, to participate, to do the services, and sometimes they can even do sermons. And those lay people are called deacons. Deacons can be married and have families and work and do other things as lay people do. So that's the numbers. It's a very small number in America. But we are here, and we exist. And as I said in my advertisement, we are here, we are faithful, and we are believers of Christ. You know, I've had people ask me, do you believe in the resurrection? Do you believe in Christ? Are you Christian-based? And everything that we talk about and everything that we do is according to the Bible, according to the scriptures, according to the word. We're a very spiritual people, even though it does not appear that way on the outside, but we are very spiritual people. Now, you have some black Catholic churches. Their churches are spirit-filled, where they not only same scriptures that a regular or orthodox, I'll say orthodox, black Catholic church has, but they go even further with the spirit-filled, where they shout and they do other spirit-filled things that a lot of the other churches, like Baptist churches, do. But they're still Catholic. See, there's a lot of room in the Catholic religion. There's a lot of room for black Catholics to grow in this religion. But as I said before, you won't see too much about it. The media doesn't talk a lot about black Catholics. But they're here. We are here. And we participate. And we believe. And we understand what the Bible is. Even though we may not literally open our Bible in church the way some do, the scriptures are read to us every week, and we understand the scriptures. And when you begin to understand the Bible and you begin to read it, a lot of things that the Catholics do come straight out of the Bible. A lot of things that other religions do come from the Catholic religion. The Roman Catholic religion is so large around the world, and it's one of the richest religions. And it's a very rich community, meaning that the businesses, the schools, just the archdiocese as a whole, it's very rich. So a lot of people don't believe that it can be as Christian as it can be as rich. Now, it helps a lot of people, too. The archdiocese, the Catholics, they do a lot of missionary work across the world, and there's a lot of money that is spent helping people. But once again, what does that do for the black Catholics? What does that say for the black Catholics that you really don't hear about? Well, let's go back and let's talk about it. Now, I told you that 3 million Americans were black Catholics, but 69.4 million are the total amount of Catholics in the United States, which is like 22% of the population. And it has the United States has the fourth largest Catholic population in the world after Brazil, Mexico, and of course the Philippines. And it also has the largest population. Now, the Catholics arrived in the United States years ago. They were Spanish missionaries. They came, I guess they can say, with Christopher Columbus back in the 1400s, 1500s. And in the 16th and 1700s, they established missions that were in Florida, Georgia, Texas, and other areas. And the later part, they established in California. Now, these missions and these different things grew and grew. well. There are black Catholics who were slaves, and some were free. There are even black bishops, which a lot of people don't know. They black bishops and black popes. In the history of the Catholics, there have been three black popes, but not too many people know that. They because, once again, in our lifetime, we've never seen it, and you're not going to see their pictures or any history of them on television in the mainstream media. Even now, with the mainstream media having all this hoopla and all this coverage about the Pope being here, they're not going to give you the history. With all these things going on with our black people in this country, with the Black Lives Matter, you would think that they would correlate and let us have some history about the popes, because this is supposedly the first one that's really into the average person and how the average person, the poor person, lives. And this one also speaks Spanish. So they're talking about that, and they're really letting you know all about his background and how he does not speak English. He speaks Spanish. But at the same time, they're not even letting you know the history of the popes and how three of them, as I said, were actually African-American. Now, we can go back to at least the 1500s, where we had black Catholics. And then in the 1700s, some of the slaves were free. They built or established a town where the black Catholics resided. Now it grew, and they did a lot of different things over the years. They created a lot of different organizations inside the Catholic religion. Like in 1829, there was the Oblate Sisters of Providence that was created. In 1839, there was another organization that was created. And we had different things happening where there was a pope, Pope Gregory the 16th. He came along and he condemned the slave trade as inhumane to Negroes. So he began to talk about the different things that were happening, which at the time, a lot of the bishops in the United States, slaves. So the Pope was trying to advocate against that. So there's a lot of things going on inside of the religion. And then in 1842, there was the group called the Sisters of the Holy Family. And they were free people of color. And there were different organizations that grew throughout the years. And then in 1875, we had our first black bishop, and his name was James Augustine Healy. But you're not going to hear about this. You're not going to hear about the black Catholics. And then in 1889, a man named Daniel Rudd created the Black Catholic Congress. And what happened was, in January of that year, 100 black Catholic men met with President Grover Cleveland. So there's always been a cause for these black Catholics when they organize themselves. And there's always been things that they would do in order to help the black people. Now, one organization you may have heard of, a lot of people have heard of, the Knights of Peter Claver. Now, they were organized in 1909. And they have the ladies as well. And you see a lot of the people join, and they wear a lot of different outfits. They participate in parades. The women are usually in all white with white gloves, and the men are in suits, black suits with the tall hats. And if you've ever been to like a Martin Luther King Day parade or different parades, you will see them participate. And you will see them throughout the black churches and throughout the Catholic churches. And they organize different things for the children and the women and the men to do. And then in 1916, the Committee for the Advancement of Colored Catholics was established. So there's a lot of different things that have come about for the black Catholics, but you don't hear about them. Now, the March in Selma, the 1965 March in Selma, a lot of Catholic clergymen and women joined that march in Selma and helped them with the civil rights and the struggle. But you don't hear about that. Now, in 1920, the first seminary for blacks was formed. And this was in Mississippi. And it was the first place that was for blacks who were becoming priests, seminarians. So we have to really understand that there are a lot of things that black Catholics do in the Catholic religion. And I played the song at the top of the show, which was Never Alone. And that's a song that, if you've ever heard of the movie Fame, that's a song that a choir recorded for that soundtrack, and it was played in the movie, and it's called Never Alone. And I was with a choir. There was a mass choir that I used to sing with called the Martin Luther King Choir. And the North Area Choir was later named. And we sang it every year for the Martin Luther King Mass that the black Catholics, well, the Catholics in general in St. Louis would participate in. And a lot of black Catholics participated in this. And they had a mass choir. And at one point, the mass choir would continue to perform throughout the year at different functions. And we learned that song. See, a lot of people think that the Catholics only sing a certain type of music. Some call it Jesuit, and some call it different things. But Catholics sing a lot of gospel music. A lot of music originated in the Catholic Church from the black Catholics that you hear that is gospel. There's a lot of great music that comes out of the Catholic Church. The part of the Mass that a lot of people don't understand that you won't see in other religions is the way it's broken into different sections. You have different music that you sing every week, and there's like a holy, holy. There's Mass parts. There's like different parts where you have to sing a certain song. Well, there's a lot of different black singers and songwriters who have wrote their own Mass parts, and they wrote them in a gospel flavor and in a different type of tone and a different type of flavor, and they've been published, and they are great songs. And I'm proud to say that we have some from St. Louis that have written Mass parts, and one is called the Robert Ray Mass part, and this was written years ago. And if you ever get a chance to listen to these Mass parts by Robert Ray, you'll love them, and you'll be like, oh, I would have never thought that these were written, that these songs and these scores were for Catholic people. Now, also, I'm going to go to the phone in a minute, but before I do that, I have to explain something to you. You know, I was challenged early on by some people when I first told them that I was Catholic, and what they knew of the Catholic religion, they were baptized in their early years. But they always told me that as a Christian, until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not saved. And I used to tell them, what do you mean? And they used to say, have you ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I do, otherwise I would not live this way. And they were trying to explain to me how the scripture said you have to say it. So I was trying to explain to them that that's not the way I was taught. So a couple of years ago, I began to really pay attention to this one part of the Mass. It's called the Creed. Now, this Creed is said in the Mass every week, and it's where you stand up and you acknowledge your faith, and you explain your faith, and you go through a ritual, the wording of what happened to Christ and how he died for us, how he was born and how he died and sacrificed for us. And that is the Catholic Creed. And by saying and doing and understanding this, you are acknowledging that you do believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And in part of this creed, it actually says that. So when I realized that, to my surprise, I'm like, wow, I've said this almost every day of my life. I've been confessing this for a very, very, very long time. And it was really interesting to me, and I didn't get to explain this to the people that challenged me on that. But I've been able to express it in other ways to other people as I meet them along the way, and I explain to them that I'm a black Catholic and what that means to me. So as I continue to read the Bible every day, I see there's a lot of things that the Catholics took from that Bible and incorporated it into their everyday mass and their everyday lifestyle. And the more I get to understand the Word and understand the Bible, I see the different things that we do from that Bible. So I really want people to understand what this is all about. And if you ever meet a black Catholic, please talk to them. You know, we exist and we're here and we're believers and we're Christians. So I'm going to take a phone call right now and see what's going on. Hello, caller 314-315, are you there?
Hi, Terry, it's Harriet.
How you doing, Harriet?
Oh, you know I know everything you're talking about.
Yes, ma'am. Harriet happens to be one of those choir members that I spoke about a few minutes ago when we were out and about throughout the St. Louis area, really doing our thing.
Matter of fact, I like to promote, but I like to say that I am a founding member of the North Area Choir and the Martin Luther King Choir. I sat on the board of directors of both of them.
Amen.
Served as the librarian for both of them, and section leader for both of them.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and soloist for both of them. I know of their history. I was glad that you acknowledged Robert Ray. Yeah, he wrote the Black Mass. I was able to sing that entire Mass in its entirety several times, and once with the St. Louis Symphony. The Black Catholics have taken sections of his Mass and incorporated into the Sunday Mass, and it has become almost like habit. I didn't hear you mention Father Clarence Rivers. Years ago, he was one of the first who brought the gospel flavor to the Black Catholic Church. I was a member of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Knights of St. Peter Claver here in St. Louis. I can say that I was a junior daughter counselor. my mother and I both belonged to the court at St. Engelbert. My father was in that court as well before he passed on. The seminary that you spoke of in Mississippi, I can tell you that my father was a member, he was a student there at that seminary studying to be a priest.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Harriet brings it. He's bringing the truth, Harriet.
He left the seminary and came back home to take care of his ailing parents, and then life took a different turn, and he and my mother met, and thus came up. My brothers, Scott and Peter Walker, were very big. You should remember that. Working with youth in the north area of St. Louis, promoting Catholicism, and through the Lwanga St. Charles Lwanga Center. I was glad that you mentioned Bishop Healy. That was my old grade school. I was there at the turn when it became from Blessed Sacrament to Bishop Healy, and was very proud to have been the first graduating class of Bishop Healy School. I'm glad that you brought this history to us. There was a Congress that met in Washington, D.C. I cannot, the Office of Black Catholics, that's what we were called. And out of that office began conventions that I hope are still happening around the United States, where Black Catholics came together and would talk about the different issues that they were facing in their parishes, of getting priests to even attend their churches, to take care of their churches. Many of our churches in our inner cities have closed up because the money is not there to support them. Now,
right,
I will confess this, Terry, that I no longer profess to be a Catholic. I left the Catholic Church over 15 years ago. And principally because of what people were saying, that I had never become saved. And I know about the section in the creed, and that we, as Catholics, should say it every Sunday and anytime you say it, it's the creed. But I want to point out that it was never taught to you as a child or even as a grown-up, of that section being taken out and exactly what that meant. And
right,
so that
right.
was what made the difference in my life. Then I began to read and find out the past atrocities that were done under the name of the Catholic Church throughout history, that I can no longer profess to be in this religion. But
well,
I can't.
See, but that's what I'm finding out, Harriet. I'm sorry because it count me down to 2 minutes. But what I'm finding out, you know, I participated, you know, in a lot of different religions, and like I tell people, every religion has its faults. Every religion,
right? They
and
do.
You
they do.
Have to
they
find
do.
The one that suits you, because the Bible says you have to be among other believers. So you should, you know, you should definitely find yourself a place to go to worship. But from what I've seen, from where I've been, every religion, because it's organized with human beings.
That's
and
right.
It has its
human
fault.
Mm-hmm.
It has its
That's virtue. Right.
And I think, you know, with us being Black, and that's why we had to organize as Black Catholics. But I believe right now is the time, especially with all the media attention on the Pope being here, they should give some attention to the Black Catholics so that we can continue to fight, because you're right, it is a battle. It is a serious battle within the Catholics itself, and that's why I'm speaking out right now for Black Catholics. But the clock is counting me down. I may have to come back next week with this topic. I'm sure.
Wonderful.
But I thank you once again, Harriet, and I'm sorry the clock got me again.
That's okay.
Okay, you take care.
Okay,
thanks. As I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Harriet has just brought us the truth once again this week. And, you know, get out there and try to, you know, to find and meet Black Catholics and really get to the truth of where their faith is. And you'll see that it is lined up with the Bible just as much as any other religion. And really try to find out, you know, what's really going on. And until then, stay true and be blessed. And I'm Terry Littlejohn, and thank you for listening. Good night.